Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast that is the number one podcast among scientists in all of Antarctica. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason Frisbabetasm, spelled with a PH instead of an F.
Oh, that's funny because of Phantasm winning last week's Halloween tourney.
Yeah, that's your new name. You've been taken over by the Tallman.
See, if you want to hear something fascinating, you can check out last week's episode at facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Well, at least see the results there. Or just check out on iTunes, and you'll hear a scary movie get ditched for a non-scary movie and winning the scariest movie tournament. I'm still not convinced that Phantasm is a scary movie.
You need to watch it again. Watch it tonight.
I'm thinking what makes it scary for you and Mike is that it features a grandpa in it. And if there's one thing that I know about the two of you is that you are terrified of grandpas, whether it's grandpa films or just grandpas in general. Because I can reassure everyone who's not afraid of grandpas, that there's nothing frightening about an old man saying boy for any amount of time.
You know,
it's just short boy or a boy. Like, it's not scary.
You might have something there, because it is pretty scary that the tall man's an old grandpa.
Yeah. And I think that's mainly it. For a supernatural, interstellar, or both being, it's that he's an old grandpa. But, all things considered, it is a great-looking film. So, if anybody hasn't seen it, you definitely should. It's just not scary. The Thing is much scarier, because it's in Antarctica, and science can't explain it.
Well, science does explain it. They explain it in the first scene. It comes from outer space. It's explained.
Yeah, it's explained in a very Prometheus kind of way. It's out of space, so let's just move on.
Yeah. It's explained in one scene. I still don't know what's going on with the tall man. I've seen four movies. Anywho.
We also have intern Mohammed.
Yeah. Well, producer Mohammed. He's been promoted. He does such a good job that I promoted him. That's the weakest introduction I've ever heard in my entire life, is just asking if he's here.
Well, he's not responsive, so I can see why that is the weakest introduction.
I hate to intrude.
He's just being polite. First, before we get into anything, I wanted to mention some sweet dudes, sweet bros, as it were. There are these dudes out there. Called Hide the Bodies. They got this screen printing company/business. You know about the screen printing, don't you, Mr. Frisbee, where they make shirts, they make posters. These people out there in the world, they're making stickers. You know about this kind of thing? You've heard about this?
Yeah, but you have me on edge when you say it's a company/business. So I'm not sure what you mean by slash business. Is this like slash fiction? Or
yeah, they make shirts that have chapters of fan fiction, sexy fan fiction written on the fronts of the shirts.
Cool. That's what I thought. Go on.
All right. They're very cool. You can find them at HTB, because their name is Hide the Bodies, you see, which is a cool name for anything. I am sad that we're being recorded right now. Otherwise, I would suggest that we should change the name of the podcast to Hide the Bodies, because it sounds metal. But you can find these dudes at HTB, kicksass, .com, not to be confused with HBK kicksass, which is the website for professional wrestler Shawn Michaels. You like wrestling, don't you, Mr. Frisbee?
Sure.
And
Shawn Michaels performs a lot of sweet chin music, so.
You got that right. And Muhammad, you like wrestling, too. Who's your favorite wrestler?
The Rock.
I like him, too. So if you need shirts made, and who doesn't? You need stickers made. Whatever the case may be, go to these the Hide the Bodies fellows at htbkicksass.com, which I know for a long time we've been talking on the JFD, the junk food dinner, about making shirts. So we might have to do that. You would wear a junk food dinner shirt, wouldn't you, Mr. Frisbee? You love junk food dinner. You told me it's your favorite entertainment entity in the world.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah. And
it's the top of its game. What can I say?
You got that right. And, you know, maybe one day we'll get up off our asses and make some pool party shirts. You know, that would be fun. You know, we could get together, me and you. You know, if we sold shirts, we could split the profits 50-50.
You sold all those shirts. Where's my percentage?
You know, I mean, we can talk about it. You're just a producer, Muhammad. You know, I don't know.
You don't get a percentage.
No, of course me and Frisbee would get a percentage. Muhammad, what are you talking about? You know, you're new here. Maybe you wouldn't get the percentage.
Those are my shirts. I've got a right to sell them.
I don't think he has a right to it's extremely forward.
Very confrontational. Oh, well, I guess we'll have to talk about it later. We'll see what's going on. Whew. Is that all right with you, Muhammad? We talk about these business matters later off the air?
Sure, no problem.
In the sense that this dude is kind of manic. It was a very quick turnaround. I thought he was... Were you just demanding to get a percentage of the shirts, demanding that they were yours?
You're right.
I don't know what's going on.
Anyway.
Okay. Anyway.
Master of segue and... Yeah.
Whew. It's still being sort of Halloween. And we're all dressed up here. I'm in my costume. Can you tell who I'm dressed up as, Mr. Frisbee? Let me give you a hint, since you can't see me. But I'm wearing a t-shirt that says, the most charismatic, attractive, and best actor of all time. Do you know who that is? Can you tell my costume from that?
Julian Sands?
You got that right. You're absolutely correct. That's my costume. Muhammad over here, he's dressed up. Who are you supposed to be? Like, I can kind of tell, but who are you trying to be here for Halloween?
I'm Hulk Hogan.
That's a good costume. I like that costume a great deal. I wanted to introduce a new tradition that we're going to be starting here on the pool party. And it's called the Halloween Hall of Ween. And that's where we induct certain items or things into the Ween Hall of Fame. Ween, of course, being one of the sweetest bands there is.
This is a great idea, since I believe it was Gene Ween of the group who announced that they would be no longer performing. It's dutiful to have a Hall of Ween in their honor.
That's true. How do you feel, Muhammad, about Ween breaking up? What would you like to say to them about the subject?
Don't do it.
That's very good.
I hear that. I agree. So the first thing I would like to induct is the album Chocolate and Cheese, because it was the first Ween album I ever owned back in ninth grade. I bought it because I liked the song Freedom of 76, and after I bought it, my friend Doobie told me that a lot of skateboard kids listen to Ween, and then that made me happy about my decision because I really liked skateboard kids at the time in ninth grade.
Who didn't? And Chocolate and Cheese is a great album. I think that was the second one that I got. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Is there anything, you know, I'm just springing this on you. We didn't talk about this before, but is there anything you want to induct into the Hall of Ween?
For me?
Mm-hmm. A song, an album, a member of the band, a video, whatever you want. Just anything at all, really.
Well, as long as we're doing it first, I got the pod first. And this was after talking about it with a coworker. We were talking about Ween, and I only heard a few tracks from them, but he kept talking about how hilarious the pod was, and there's tracks like
Birthday Boys on that one.
And so it's a Stallion, Polo Asado, which is just kind of a talking sketch sort of thing. That's pretty wild. Pork Roll Egg and Cheese is amazing. Awesome Sound. Yeah, there's a lot of great weird, crappily recorded songs on the pod, and it's very fun.
Yeah, if I was one of those guys who's like good at mashing two audio files together into one audio file, like your girl talk or somebody like this, I would take the album The Pod, and I would combine it with some of my favorite Pod Awful clips, and I think that would really go over well. Pod Awful being a podcast, and The Pod being a musical album.
The Pod would be everywhere on that project.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be good. Here comes a mashup. All right. The last thing this year that we're going to induct into the Hall of Ween, the Halloween Hall of Ween, is the movie It's Pat, as Ween appears in the movie. And there's a part where Pat, the titular Pat from the Saturday Night Live sketches, who got a movie somehow, and it was written by Quentin Tarantino somehow, plays with Ween. And then Pat goes around telling people that she or he played with the Ween. And that's a very funny thing to say, because it sounds sexual. And so that movie is funny for that reason alone. So also, It's Pat is inducted into this Hall of Ween.
That's a nice grab. I always forget that that was a thing until I see it on YouTube and watching old Ween videos. It's like, oh yeah, Ween with Pat.
Yeah.
In the movie, It's Pat. So
somehow. And one of the kids in the hall. What a weird movie.
Yeah. Weird concept for a character anyway. But great how it turned out. That's a lot of fun.
Anywho, moving on to the next thing. Because the last 2 weeks we've done these huge shows, these Munsters retrospective shows and these horror movie shows, you know, all this news has been slipping through the cracks, so we're going to do an extra long lightning round today. So let's get into this extra long lightning round.
And now, it's time
for the lightning round.
First up, Bald Beavers remind us, just because you
Bald read Beavers, that's Freudian. That's the most Freudian thing I've ever heard in my life. Frisbee's over here talking about shaved pussies.
I don't know what that was supposed to mean. A Bald Beavers does not have, it's neither one nor the other.
I thought you said beavers.
No, that would be extremely Freudian.
Now I'm being Freudian.
Yeah, you are so Freudian.
I've been thinking about shaved pussies all day, Mr. Frisbee.
What have you been doing with your life?
Anyway, please continue with your news that I so rudely interrupted.
That's fine. We need to know what you're thinking. So there was a post going on Twitter's with the hashtag of Bald for Bieber, with claims being attached that Justin Bieber was undergoing cancer treatments and was bald as a result, going through these cancer treatments and just not releasing it. Word spread like wildfire, like a bad game of telephone. People started believing that Justin Bieber was going through cancer. To show support, they were going bald for Bieber. People had recorded themselves doing this, getting their head shaved, and it was all for naught as Justin came out and said, "Nope, I'm not going bald from cancer treatments. I do not have cancer."
He's got no cancer, Frisbee.
I hear that.
Yeah, but I love this. I wish that these guys who played this prank would have done it, you know, more politically, as, I mean, I've been talking about for the last 2 months or something, that I'm sick of all these people who just, like, see a meme on the interwebs of somebody saying something goofy, and they go, "This must be true. I'm going to vote according to this meme that is not true, that somebody made up on a message board." And it sickens me that we live in a country where idiots are allowed to do that. And but this is an extension of that. People who just see a hashtag and go, "Oh my God, Bieber's got cancer. I don't think I'm going to go out of my way to Google this or turn on Entertainment Tonight or anything. I'm just going to see this hashtag, and then I'm going to shave my head immediately." And that's the kind of world we live in, where people, you know, they don't take what Stephen Hawking has to say at face value, but they take a hashtag straight to heart.
They take a photoshopped image of Stephen Hawking with a quote from Abraham Lincoln that's attributed now to Morgan Freeman in the same picture as fact. Like, well, look at this picture of Morgan Freeman. He's so brave for being in that wheelchair.
Yeah. We live in a place where most people would call Bill Nye crazy for saying that evolution is real. But then also most people think it's pretty reasonable if they see a meme where Bill Nye is talking about how politicians are retards, that he's going to fuck with science in their asses. They think that's reasonable. So, it's Crazy world out there. Crazy, crazy world.
How many times did you end up seeing that Bill Nye thing? Because I remember seeing it maybe once. Really? I really didn't pay attention to it. I saw that it was on like a Facebook post, but I think it was only that one time. How many times did you end up seeing it?
I saw it a lot. Well, I saw it like a billion times on Tumblr. And I thought that maybe it was just a Tumblr thing because, like, Tumblr people are just the fucking bottom of the barrel when it comes to intelligence. And then it started popping up on the Facebook, as things do. After things catch on Tumblr, they'll pop up on Facebook a few days later. And, yeah, I saw it at least 4 times on Facebook from people who otherwise are pretty into reading news stories and books. And that was the saddest part of all. People who, like, the kind of people who, like, if you were, like, debating them on a topic, you know, like, they would be like, hey, man, I read all day about this topic. You can't debate with me. Like, people like that, like those kind of, like, smarty pants people. So that's what made it especially sad. But, yeah, I saw it quite a bit. Same thing with that thing I talked about a couple of weeks ago, that thing about Mitt Romney wanting to ban tampons. So sad, these people. So sad.
It troubles me that the one time I saw that post, it was followed up by other posts from likewise intelligent people who were posting this stuff. And I know like part of it's like, oh yeah, this rules. It's rock and roll. And there's also a part that's like this. I mean, you don't think that this is real, right? Like you understand this is some kind of a joke or just a play on what's going on. And I don't know if it comes through because there's more and more posts from these image feed sites, like, what is it? Motherfucking Science, Motherfucking Rules, or something like that?
I don't know.
I don't remember science being so vulgar and cruel. Like, not cruel, but rude. It's like, it's science. I mean, it's Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's Carl Sagan. It's Robert Feynman. I mean, these are people who are more poetic than Motherfucking Science, Motherfucking Rules. Like, I doubt that's where they would go to help, you know, be more erudite in their points. Can you imagine like Carl Sagan dropping any manner of like curse words?
No.
Check out these fucking billions of stars. There's a shit ton in the universe. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, why would Bill Nye do it? Like, these are people who want a modicum of respect for what they're doing because they're on the well, I mean, the exception of Bill Nye, who's more celebrity than like scientist. I mean, they're trying to explain complex things. They're not trying to be colloquial about it. Yeah. You know?
But Bill Nye is a real-ass scientist, though. I think he used to work for NASA and stuff.
I don't know much about his background outside of the good he did for children's programming.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
And that time that he was that speed-walking superhero on that sketch comedy show. But, yeah, I think he worked for NASA and stuff. Like, he's a real scientist who just happens to be funny. He's not one of these Dr. Phils, who's like some fake dickhead who calls himself a doctor. Bill Nye, he's a real scientist.
Who isn't funny.
Yeah, he's not even funny at all.
Dr. Phil would never do like a speed walking bit, or whatever the hell it is.
You get that right. So, yeah, do you think these guys, these believers, got what they deserved? Do you think that the punishment fits the crime for not fact-checking?
I suppose. I mean, it's... I don't know exactly what they would have done wrong in this instance outside of just they could have – they'll be using more research in the future, I think. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
I hope they learn a lesson to look elsewhere besides Twitter for all their news and fact-checking. Like, well, this hashtag has like 300 support or – I mean, it's probably in the thousands at this point. Then it must be true. It's not. I tolerate Twitter as much as the next person. So it's not going to be this thing where if I see it on Twitter, then it's fact.
Yeah,
that's why most of the Twitter followers I have, or not Twitter followers I have, but the people I follow on Twitter are mostly like just joke sites. Like ridiculous, absurdist joke sites. Who do you follow on Twitter?
I follow David Angelo. That's it.
Is that it?
That's pretty much it. Sawfan. Sawfan666 I follow. And, of course, Mr. Frisbee, I follow you.
Likewise, I follow you. Nice. Let's see, there's Purple Wingo, Sandwich Beats.
Sandwich Beats. Ain't nobody got time for Sandwich Beats.
Hot Mini Donuts.
Nah.
These are all good people.
No.
They're all hysterical. They're very funny.
I bet. I bet they're all very funny.
Mm-hmm. And none of them had the hashtag bald for Bieber.
Yeah. Did you hear about this guy in New York who, during the hurricane and stuff, he would tweet things like, breaking news, there is no power in all of Manhattan. And breaking news, 400 people are dead and stuff like this. And the real newspapers ran with it as if it were fact. And now they want to arrest that guy.
Yeah, that's very timely of you. I remember just reading about that the other day after catching up with past friend of the show, past guest of the show, Warday, who's still in New York and doing well despite everything. But yeah, I read an article about that immediately after talking with her because of the other funny fake Twitter accounts like Mitt Romney's Hurricane Tips and Hurricane Sandy Twitter account, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of what you expect, not somebody trying to be legitimate. And that's what that guy was trying to do, correct? Like, he was trying to be on the ground floor of these news stories, even though he had nothing to back it up, like not even an AP PR release.
Yeah, he had nothing. He was just making stuff up. And my guess is that he was making stuff up just to see if real news people would pick it up, which they did. But now he's in a lot of trouble. And people are trying to get him to be brought up on criminal charges, even though, if you ask me, the bad guys in this situation are journalists who would look at a tweet and go, this is hard news. Let's go with this.
Yeah, that's very odd. I mean, that would be like the equivalent of going to Tumblr and finding some sort of fan fiction. Be like, well, this is a new development. I better report about this Breaking Bad bromance that's going to be coming up next season. It's like it never happened.
Yeah.
It's a live feed of, you know, people's whims and fancies. Don't take it as fact.
Yeah, and also, I mean, if you're going to take it as fact, that's fine. But you should then, like, try to call, like, a real person in charge who, like, or at least, like, try to get confirmation from a guy who has a Twitter account that's been verified. Like, at least maybe call Patton Oswalt, you know, or Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, you mean, like, be a journalist if you're going to be a journalist?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, these journalists today. So lazy. They just take tweets. That's not how we did it back in my day. Back in my day, we used to have to meet up with a band and have a very awkward 45-minute conversation with them about their new album. And then that's how we got our news.
You were rarely seen without your press card hat. You had that fedora with the giant card in it that said press, which I believe was homemade, but I think it still worked.
Yeah, it worked pretty well.
What's the scoop, jackalopes? Next up, a cop tasers a boy for refusing to wash his car.
Boy!
Yep. I know he was that kind of a wild card grandpa, but U.S. policeman Officer Chris Webb reportedly fired the 50,000-volt weapon at the boy during a career day in Tularosa Intermediate School in New Mexico. And the boy blacked out and has since suffered post-traumatic stress disorder. And he's now taking legal action.
I love that we call everything post-traumatic stress disorder now. Like, if something bad happens to you and you get bummed out, then you have a disease called post-traumatic stress disorder.
At most, it's a disorder. Like, hopefully there's some resolve for this kid, though, because that would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah, I'm not saying isn't terrifying. Like, I mean, yeah, he's probably traumatized and stuff. But, I mean, we're giving it to people who their legs have been blown off in a war in some shitty country, and we're just giving it to kids in New Mexico who've been tased. Like, there's got to be some middle ground here. It can't be everything. Everybody who's ever had some bummer thing happen to them, can it? It's got to be, you know, we got to give it to the Vietnam vets who've been forced at gunpoint to throw grenades into a school building. Not everybody can have this. Anywho, how do you feel about this?
I've heard that story before. What you just mentioned, the school building.
Yeah, well, Vietnam was rough. That shit was happening all the time. That's not the story they'll tell you in the newspaper. That's the story you have to live, Frisbee.
You were there. At least you felt like you were there when you were watching Platoon. But
yeah, I was watching Apocalypse Now. That Platoon stuff, that's wussy stuff. That's the kind of stuff they'll get you in the mainstream news, Mr. Frisbee. If you want that real shit, you gotta watch Apocalypse Now.
the defendant, Chris Webb, had asked the small boy and a group of boys who would like to clean the patrol unit. Like, this was part of, you know, career day, like get to wash stuff for the police or whatever. And a number of boys said that they would, but the kid in question who got electrocuted jokingly said that he did not want to clean the patrol unit, which I would think would be the most reasonable answer. Like, no, I didn't. I just wanted to learn about the job, not clean a car.
Yeah.
So the response, according to eyewitness, was that Webb is accused of responding by aiming his taser at the child before saying, "Let me show you what happens to people who do not listen to the police." And he then stunned the child before pulling out the barbs and taking the boy to the school's principal office.
Well, at least that cop was honest. I mean, that kid learned a valuable lesson that day.
Yeah, usually you have, like, crooked psycho cops. This is the most honest psycho cop that I've had the joy of reading about. This is a really unusual story. Did you ever go to career day, like, as a kid?
Nah, I think I didn't even know career day was real. I thought it was just something that they made up for TV shows like The Wonder Years and Freaks and Geeks and Saved by the Bell.
I remember a job shadowing day, but never anything like this. Never been asked to clean, like, a police car or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, it's for the best. You would have gotten tased. If you didn't wax it just right, you would get the taser.
Yeah, if it was, like, a Biff from Back to the Future.
Yeah, like, how ballsy is this cop, though, to just tase a little kid for not washing his car?
I would say not ballsy. Like, I would say he's very easily intimidated by small children questioning. Not even questioning his authority. He was basically posing the supposition, does anybody want to wash my car? No, not really. Well, I'll show you who disobeys a cop.
I've run all out of my tokens at BP to go through the car wash. I need some little kid's stat.
I'm all out of tokens, but I'm full of voltage. So, we'll get this done.
Well, that kid's probably rich now. So good for him.
Yeah, what a twist to go to career day and find out you no longer need to seek out a career.
Yeah. What a solid cop to do that kid that favor.
I know. Keep an eye out, kid.
Yeah, that kid was
gonna go far.
That kid was like, I don't want to be a car washer. I don't want to be a cop. I got no options. And that cop was like, well, let me help you out. After 15 minutes of pain, you're going to get a large settlement. And you'll be
Let me show you the magic of disobeying a policeman. It's just this easy. Still lying around. We have Green Party presidential candidate for the Green Party, Jill Stein, has been arrested in Texas while attempting to resupply protesters camping out in trees to oppose the Keystone XL pipeline, according to anti-pipeline activists.
Yeah, this is your guy, right? Jill Stein is your homeboy, right?
Homegirl, I would say.
Well, I'm very sorry. That was insensitive of me.
I guess you just forgot or something. I don't know. But the Tar Sands blockade activist said she was released soon after being taken to the Wood County Jail in Wilmington, Texas. She was charged on a Class B misdemeanor.
All right, we don't need all the details here. We got the gist of it, Mr. Frisbee. You're trying to one-up these crappy journalists who go off of Twitter by reading the whole story. You're the real journalist now, Mr. Frisbee.
Because I'm reading the entire article?
Yeah.
Okay. But, it was a bizarre arrest. How do you feel about this? I know she's not your homegirl, but what would you say?
Well, not my homegirl. My homeboy, maybe. Homeboy is gender neutral. Yeah, I don't know. She was arrested like a week or two ago, like during one of the debates, like the presidential debates, because like she was like, hey, I'm running for president. I need to get in there, you know, and talk as well, because I'm also running for president.
Yeah.
And she got arrested for that, which is real crummy. It's some real crummy stuff. And so I thought this was going to be like something else like that. But then I saw that she was like trying to give supplies to people living in trees. And I said, oh, yeah, you should be arrested. I think that should be a crime. Handing something to somebody who is in a tree should be a crime.
Even if it's not illicit drugs or weapons or anything like that that's going to harm others.
Yeah, if it's a pencil, if it's an apple that fell out of their bushel, food, PlayStation games,
Shades of Grey.
Yeah, a CD copy of my new hit album, Ween's the Pod Awful.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. I don't know. I mean, if you're hanging out with a tree, like if you're hanging out in a tree trying to stop people from doing something, then you're probably like a big dickhead. So if you're assisting those dickheads, then might as well go to jail. That's not your tree. Get out of that tree. You're not even a raccoon. What are you doing in a tree? Do you disagree, Mr. Frisbee? Do you love tree people?
Yeah, why not? They're camping out in trees. What more can I say? That does not seem to be infringing on anything except for the trees themselves.
What if they're trespassing? What if those aren't their trees?
I don't know. Whose trees are they?
That's very philosophical. Let's ask my friend here, Chief Running Bear, who the trees belong to. Can the wind have an owner, Chief Running Bear? I really don't have a friend named Chief Running Bear.
Somebody who's going to respond to that.
Wouldn't that be great if I had a soundboard ready for just an Indian? And by that, of course, I mean if I just had like an Indian guy in my house. We don't use soundboards on this show.
Well, next up on the lightning round. In Cincinnati, police ticket a man for saying crippled in public. Forrest Sommer didn't assault a physically disabled person. He didn't even verbally heckle her. Unless Cincinnati police charged Sommer with disorderly contact after he used the word crippled to promote a comedian with muscular dystrophy. His friend was comedian Ali Bruner, and his statement, "Laugh at the crippled girl, or do you want to laugh at the crippled girl," was part of Bruner's advertising campaign for her set taking place in Cincinnati that day.
How do you feel about this, Frisbee?
It seems odd. The marketing campaign does not seem to be a problem. It seems to be a problem with the event that they were doing this at in the public park. I guess you need marketing rights, but they're focusing on the use of the word crippled, although it doesn't seem like anybody made any complaints about that.
Have you ever performed with any crippled comedians?
Yeah, I have.
Did they call themselves crippled?
I don't recall. I mean, there were jokes made at the expense of what they were going through, like being in a wheelchair or whatever.
Did you make jokes about their wheelchair?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't know what it's like.
You can imagine you've sat down before, right?
Yeah.
It's like sitting down and not being able to stand up. That's it.
Oh, is that what it's like?
That's exactly what it's like. It's not too much else to it.
Oh, so coma is like when you just lay down and you sleep longer. I got it.
Yeah. Sleeping is like, being dead is like getting a good night's sleep. Being in a wheelchair is like not being able to stand up. That's it. That's the whole experience. Like, you ever been sitting down and like been like real tired and thirsty and you're like, oh man, I really want to get up and like get a drink or like go to the bathroom, but like you just don't feel like getting up because you're so comfortable. That's what it's like.
How do you know this? Have you been crippled before?
No, but I've sat down before and I was too comfortable to get up. I mean, what else could there be to it? Unless there's like some...
Certain there's tons, but...
Is there like unendurable pain that goes along with it? In fact, a lot of people say that they can't feel their legs when they're in wheelchairs. So that's great. That's like half your body you don't even have to worry about. You could stub your toe and you'd be fine. If you ask me, it's a gift from God.
It's like why don't you go through with it then? Like, why don't you just lose control of your legs?
Because my insurance won't cover that. Because of fucking Mitt Romney. So as soon as Obama gets elected again, then my insurance will cover it. And then I'm going to get my legs taken off. And then I'll be comfortable all day long.
That's what comfort is for you. Okay.
Yeah. Comfort food.
Comfort food?
I'm going to be in my wheelchair eating comfort food all day, you know? potatoes au gratin and corn on the cob and stuff.
Well, you referred to potatoes au gratin by their actual name and not just like cheesy potatoes or wedding potatoes. So I respect that.
Yeah, well, you know, what am I? Cheesy potatoes. What am I, a baby? A southern baby from the south?
Well, you're afraid of Phantasm, so that's the zing of the day.
Man, I think that Phantasm is very scary. Muhammad, come on, you gotta back me up on here. You're scared, right? Like, I mean, when I saw Phantasm, I was very scared.
What are you, chicken?
Whoa. Them's fighting words.
Yeah, well,
So what do you think of this story? I actually haven't heard anything from a guest of the show, John Holmes, about this. He's in Cincinnati. He must know something about this, this party in the park event.
Maybe. I haven't seen anything on his Twitter feed about it. But I think he'd be with me. I think he'd be pretty happy to be crippled.
What a weird turn of events. Like, how did I get to the enjoyment of being crippled? I was certain that this was going to be just about free speech or something.
No, man, free speech is played out. I'm done talking about that.
You want to talk about the benefits of being confined to a wheelchair?
Yeah. Man, I just saw Silver Bullet recently where Corey Haim plays a wheelchair kid. Man, people are picking him up. They're putting him in bed.
Now it's clear. Okay. This makes way more sense now.
They're building motorcycles for him. He's fighting werewolves. I mean, he's got like the fucking sweetest life you could ever hope for.
But you think about anything Corey Haim does. So this makes more sense to me now.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's very cool. And he's especially very cool when he's confined to a wheelchair.
What was the one where he's in high school and he's fighting off terrorists in like some warehouse or factory?
It was in a school. It was Demolition High.
That was in a school?
Yeah.
Why did it look so industrial in the trailer that I watched?
Well, maybe you're thinking about, there's two of them. There's Demolition High that takes place in a school and Demolition University, which you would think would take place in a university, but instead takes place at a power plant.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me now.
Yeah, okay. He's not in a wheelchair in those movies, though.
Right, but you would agree that those are sweet movies.
Yeah, of course.
He's in school, but he gets to do action movie stuff.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't want that as part of their educational experience?
That's true. So we're back on the same page.
Not really. I haven't seen many Corey Haim movies. So I can't remember one that I've actually seen, to be honest.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
I know.
Man, you haven't even... have you seen License to Drive?
No, man.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen that movie... have you seen The Lost Boys Part 2?
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen... let's see, what else is there? Have you seen Blown Away?
Blown Away? Was that the one with Tommy Lee Jones?
No, that's with Corey Feldman.
No.
What?
Have you seen... let's see, what else is there? What else has he been in? Have you seen Crank Part 2?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
All right. Was he in that movie?
Yeah, he plays like the redneck drug addict guy.
Not standing out for me at all. Like, I remember quite a bit about that film, but was he at the strip club?
He might have been.
Ooh,
who knows? Right. Who knows? But yeah, obviously cops giving tickets to people for saying words is fucking stupid. But at least that person didn't get tasered.
Yeah, it could have been worse, I guess.
Yeah.
So, up next we have a Halloween party stampede in Spain kills three at Madrid Arena. Within the arena, it was actually under capacity, not over capacity by any means, but there were thousands of people who were attending a Halloween dance party where three women were killed and critically injured two others early on Thursday, just after 4 a.m. Apparently, there were some loud noises, a flare or a firework that caused people to stampede and then trample the five young women. I find this coincidental because it takes place in Spain, where you usually have the running of the bulls, which would cause a trampoline death. And I was stunned to see that it was just a crowd that was frightened by a flare or a firework.
Yeah, well, you know, they're Spaniards. They spook easy.
Yeah, and apparently on Halloween, they go hard. They go real hard on Halloween. I've never heard of, like, a Halloween tramping death.
Yeah. You know what's even worse than a Halloween trampling death?
What's that?
A Halloween trampoline death.
Okay. That sounds about right. Did you see any of the many photos from the Hurricane Sandy of large trampolines, like, tossed up into power lines or trees? Some of them are, like, previous hurricanes, but...
No, there's trampolines that have been,
They're just stuck in mid-elevation because they caught onto power lines or whatever.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense. Trampolines aren't, like, very heavy. They would be the first things to go in a storm, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks, man. If I was living in New York and I had a trampoline, I would go out back and I would, like, tie it down with chains and stuff. You gotta protect your trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's one of the good kind that doesn't have, like, those shitty, like, fences around it so that you can't fall off.
Yeah, that was the debate about what most people were angry about when they saw these things. Not like, oh, how did it get up there? That sucks. You're like, why do you have a net around it? Back in my day, like, if you fell and cracked your head on the sidebar, that was your own fault. We didn't have these safety regulations or whatever.
Yeah, those safety trampolines are fucking stupid. Half the fun was jumping off your trampoline onto, like, a doghouse or, like, a person doing moonsaults.
Or, yeah, doing a forward flip directly into your shoes because your shoes have been placed as right and left on the ground so you can look like a superhero.
That would work. You do it? You could do that. That's a real Jackie Chan type of move.
Mm-hmm. Pretty slick stuff.
Yeah. Were you hit by a hurricane?
No, I was not. Were you?
Yeah. Pretty big hurricane.
How big?
The biggest. No, but I survived an earthquake. Did I mention that?
No, I think you did. What happened with the earthquake?
My drink almost tipped over. That's about it. But it was sweet.
Terrifying.
I loved it. It felt like, I think I tweeted this, but it feels like if you're just standing there, and then all of a sudden a ghost pushes you, like right in your chest.
Oh, that must have been a dream come true for you.
Yeah, it was great. I was sad to find out that it was an earthquake, though, because I would have really enjoyed that proof that ghosts exist, but the earthquake was just as fun in the end.
You didn't experience the earthquake in Dayton from like 4 years ago?
No, I think that was like right after I left.
Right after, huh?
Yeah, I was like real pissed off that as soon as I left Dayton, there was an earthquake, since all I've wanted in life was an earthquake.
I remember like distinctly waking up and seeing like rumbling, but I was close to the train tracks, so I thought a train was coming by. And I was half asleep, and then I heard car alarms going off outside. I was like, God, that's a really loud train. So I was kind of oblivious, and then later I heard reports that there was an earthquake that morning, and I was stunned that I mistook it for a train.
And you survived that the earthquake?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Nice. You know, earthquakes are very natural. Maybe from now on your nickname should be the Nature Boy, because you survived.
You want to dance with the Nature Boy? You want to make some serious money, brother?
He's all over it. I like this.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get down to t-shirts or something. That'd be good.
Those are my shirts. I've got a right to sell them.
Next up in the lightning round, Friendship, Money, Greed, Meet, and Magic the Gathering Fantasy Card Game. In Pensacola, Florida, a gentleman, Sean Dugas, was murdered for his Magic cards by two other Magic players who robbed him only of his collection of cards. If you don't know what Magic the Gathering is, I doubt you were alive in the 90s. This was a popular playing card game where you basically collect playing cards, much like you would baseball cards.
Well, I think it's unfair that you're calling it a game. I mean, it was real life.
Well, it caused a real murder, but this is hardly real life. I mean, it's playing cards. Have you ever played Magic?
Dude, I used to play the shit out of Magic.
You're kidding.
One of the greatest regrets that I ever had in my life for like a long time...
Playing Magic?
Was playing Magic at all. One time. When I first got into Magic, like I was so into it, like a friend of mine let me use his deck, and I was like, this is the best game ever. And I sold my collection of all the Weird Al cassette tapes in order to buy some Magic cards of my own.
Oh, so that's where the regret comes in.
Lots of regret on that one. Until, of course, CDs came out and MP3s and stuff, then I no longer regretted it, because what the fuck am I going to do with a cassette tape?
Yeah, rewind it.
Yeah, rewind it or give it to Jono so he can tape over it with some mixtape for a girl or something.
Yeah.
As that's what they do out in Portland.
Right.
Still making mixtapes. Nobody's got a tape player, man. They don't even make those fucking things anymore. Anyway, yeah, I used to play the shit out of Magic. And, me and my friends would, in high school, would have spend the night dates. And we would play Twisted Metal and Magic cards and drink Mountain Dew until the dawn. And it was a great time.
That sounds interesting. I never did anything like that, though.
You should have, man. It was great. It was a fun time. A lot of community. This was back in the days when there was a comic book store in Huber Heights, and they sold Magic cards. So we would get together, we would read comics, and we would play Magic cards with the dude who worked there, and it was a sweet time.
Is that Dragon Slayer?
Yeah, indeed it was.
Those are always fun, like in those sort of environments, because there would just be the table set up, and yeah, like you're browsing comics and you see some dudes not totally freaking out over this card game or murdering each other over a card game.
I could see murdering somebody over the card game.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, A, it's an infuriating game. I mean, I'm sure it, like, ended a lot of relationships I had in high school. Like, you know, like, oh, you can't use that card right now. What the fuck are you doing, you son of a bitch? I'm leaving. And you, like, tip the card table over, and all the cards go everywhere. And then you spend the next hour picking them up because they're very valuable. Stuff like that. A lot of heated fights over Magic cards.
A lot of table tipping.
A lot of table tipping.
Yeah, there's a funny image of two dudes playing. I think it's Magic. And it just looks like they're just very calmly playing, like one of them smiling. And then the one who's smiling, just he sees the card that's being played in front of him, and then he just lifts the table and pushes it over. I mean, as if that was his next move. Like, well, I'm just going to play this one now. There's no real emotion behind it. He's just like, I'm done with this. You've infuriated me.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people who play Magic are like real awkward autistic nerds, so they don't really have emotions. But they know that they should be mad, so they calmly tip over tables. In fact, I think I still have a lot of my Magic cards. Muhammad, would you be interested in buying my Magic cards?
I'll give you $10,000.
I don't know. You know, these are pretty old Magic cards, pretty rare. You know.
I tell you what, I'll give you $14,000.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I've been collecting them for a long time. You know, who knows? Anyway, yeah. Has there ever been a hobby that you had, Mr. Frisbee, that you would go so far as to kill a man to keep that hobby going?
I doubt it. I cannot think of a hobby that was like that. I had a pretty sweet Spider-Man collection, but it wasn't so sweet that I would murder anyone for it. Yeah, I never got into the card game aspect of any of these. In fact, I played a set card game at this, it was a game night back in Dayton like a couple of months ago. And I didn't fully understand all the rules. Like, I'm sure there was like a lot of tiny details that, you know, you only get after playing a couple times, but I seem to be infuriating everyone who had already been like well accustomed to the game. Like they're like, oh, well, you're new to the group, so we'll just do this beginner game. And then the first move, I play something like scoffing left and right. And I knew I was going to have a bad time. I did okay, I think. But yeah, it was it's rough. I can't imagine playing Magic and having to deal with that constantly. Because there's new cards coming out all the time, right?
Yeah.
There's thousands of these things.
Tons of them. Millions of cards probably at this point. Maybe not millions, but a lot.
Yeah. It's a bit late to get involved in it now. And I don't think I've had anything that's been this close. Like never had a hobby like this.
Yeah, I've had a lot of hobbies like this. I played the Magic cards. I played Horror Clicks and Hero Clicks for a while back in the olden days. That's a fun game.
I didn't know how to do that either. I saw a kid playing that and I was like, I'm lost.
That game is fun. Yeah, it's hard. Like I used to play it all the time and I like hardly even knew the rules. A lot of rules with that game, but you know, you could put together a game where you had Iron Man fighting Freddy. That shit is fucking sweet. But I think you had to fudge the rules a little bit. Because it's technically two separate games, Hero Clicks and Horror Clicks. But, you know, whatever's good. Who do you think would win in a fight, Iron Man or Freddy?
I want to believe Iron Man, but Freddy always wins at the end of that franchise film, right?
Like,
he always comes back in some regard.
Yeah, sometimes. He'll usually get killed. And then you'll see, like, his reflection in, like, a fountain, indicating that he's still alive.
Fountain. I imagine like a water fountain in the school hallway, and that seems very anticlimactic to me. I'm sure you meant like a public fountain, right?
Well, I mean like the fountains at like the Bellagio in Vegas, where like they go off, you know, big crazy fountains, water going everywhere, or like those terrible fountains in Dayton that just spray water in one direction for no fucking reason. They wasted a bunch of money on that bullshit.
Fresh water, too. I mean, yeah. You have to. It's not going to be like any of the river water.
Yeah, no.
And that must be horrifying to people visiting from overseas where water is a commodity.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that there's a lot of Ethiopian tourists going to Dayton, but I get what you mean in theory.
Anybody who's lucky enough to make it out would be stunned.
Yeah. Oh my, they're just wasting it. They're just mixing their fresh water with their poop river water, where they keep all their cars that no longer work. In that shitty river there, full of rocks and bridges that crumbled.
Cars that no longer work. Yeah, it's terrible.
What a terrible town.
It's a horrible place.
Yeah. Well, Muhammad, you live in Dayton right now, right? What would you say? You think it's horrible, or do you want Frisbee to move there with you?
I want you to come up north next week.
North? All right.
I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
Wow, I don't know what to say. I'm stunned.
I'm madly in love with you.
I'm flattered.
All right.
But what will we do? How will I mean, that's a huge change. How will I adjust? Are you going to help me adjust? Is anybody going to be able to help me adjust?
I'm going to go out and buy a house. I'm going to get you an engagement ring, and hopefully you'll think about moving to Minnesota.
That's beautiful. I always want to be closer to Prince's origins.
I'll give you $10,000.
You don't have to bring money into this.
I tell you what. I'll give you $14,000.
That's okay. I don't need that. I just want to be able to, earn profits from shirts we'll be selling in the future.
Those are my shirts. I've got a right to sell them.
Well, now I'm not so sure about this working out.
Oh! Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm very immature. Well, let's move on to this thing on the show that we like to call put your fingers in the air so Frisbee can see where you're at. This is the thing where people email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com and we answer those emails.
This week's email is from Blake.
But other people can email us. I would like to stress that. Anyone and everyone. poolpartyradio@gmail.com.
Yeah, Blake reaccentuates what Parker just said as he titles it, "Only this guy writes these emails," which lately has been true. So you can mix it up if you like. But Blake always has good emails. This one is pretty long and detailed, but it discusses our scary movie tourney from last week. I'm sure for anybody who listened, there is some discretions about what was chosen, what moved on. We did it through voting by what we thought was, just through personal opinion mainly. And Blake had some choices that he thought would or should have moved on, even though he doesn't really think that any movies are very scary at all.
Which is a lie, because I've watched some movies with Blake, so he gets real scared.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we watched Killing Birds, Zombie Part 5 together. He was so scared of those zombie birds.
That sounds skeptical. I don't see how zombie birds are scary.
Yeah, I would say the same thing, but he was so scared. And we had this really scary basement that he would never go in because he was so scared of zombies.
Zombie basements?
Yeah, so I know the truth, Blake, so.
Let's see. He's very much a David Hess fan. And likes the film Zombie, but argues that some of these movies that went on would be better than others. His brackets seem to be a little bit different from ours.
Very different.
Yeah.
He thinks we're dummies, as a matter of fact.
Some of the funny points he brings up, though. I am burned out on Army of Darkness, and I could watch Lost Boys again without having to see the YouTube video of G.I. Joe's doing the thing. Which apparently is a thing. I haven't checked it out yet.
Oh, it's good.
So Lost Boys for me with that sexy yakety sax would be his choice. And that saxophone scene is still weird to me, but funny that you brought it up like that.
You got that right. I watched Lost Boys 3 the other day, and it's really good. Well, not really good. It's good. I thought. It stars Corey Feldman. Have you heard of him?
I've heard of this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, earlier when I mentioned my Halloween costume, Corey Feldman could have also been the answer, as he's the best, most charismatic, attractive actor in the world. Part 2.
Part 2. The sequel.
Yeah. Man, if there was a movie with Corey Feldman and Julian Sands in it, I'd lose my mind.
Blake goes on to say that he has a little to disagree with on our speed rounds after the first couple choices, since we'd eliminated almost all of his movies in the first round. But he does want to kill us for upvoting Blair Witch. It was never creepy, it was never scary, it was never good. And
what would you have us do? What was against the Blair Witch? Some horrible stuff? Brain scan? Should we have moved brain scan up Blake Cell? Or the people under the stairs?
It's a weird mashup. It was whatever would have been scary at the time. This, I don't know. How did you approach the tournament from last week, the scary movie tournament? Were you going by on what was scary or what was scary when it was released? Or was it mixed? What did you do?
It was a little mixed. It was a little, what I thought was scary when I watched it for the first time, and just movies that I enjoy. Like if somebody was standing there and they said, hey, I got a Blair Witch Project DVD, and I got a Brain Scan DVD. Which one do you want? Like, that's a big rule of thumb on how I would vote.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I know mine was mixed as well. I was just trying to go for what was scary upon, like, first watch, or, like, could foresee to be scary generally when put up against another film. So, there's a bit of those, too.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It's funny. Well, we can thank Blake Cell for this email. There's a lot of hemming and hawing from Blake Cell on these subjects. We don't want to read everything. But, But thanks, Blake Cell, for that email.
Yeah, and thank you.
Other people can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. And I was going to mention something that I forget now. Oh, well.
Penis farts.
All right, well, I guess that's the end of the show, since I'm never going to remember what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. I think it's funny that, you know, like, we did this, and, like, we got, like, a lot of, Blake Cell adamantly disagreeing with us on a lot of stuff, and I think it's funny that on this show, where we say, like, a lot of weird stuff sometimes, you know, that usually the only time anybody emails us is to disagree with something that we've said about movies. Like this Blake Cell email, and then we got that one email a while back, or one or two emails. I was like, how could you guys hate Prometheus? I can't believe this.
Yeah, that was also part of it.
Yeah, so I think that's funny, that the most infuriating stuff we say is usually about movies, despite the fact that we say some weird stuff sometimes. Especially you. I can't believe that stuff you said about wanting to be crippled.
What? That was you who said that.
No, I think I remember you saying that.
No, I had nothing to say. Unless you're talking to a producer, then I don't recall this at all.
No, that was you. anyway, that's the end of the show. Email us, poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Go to our website, poolpartyradio.com. Check out all our episodes there or on iTunes or Stitcher. While you're on iTunes, leave us a comment or a 5-star review, because that's super helpful. It pushes us up in the rankings. If we get if a show gets like more than 3 of those in a week, then they're put on the front page of iTunes generally, and that's really super helpful. And whatnot. So also Stitcher is good. A lot of people have been listening on Stitcher. That's a lot of fun. You don't have to download it all the way to your phone. You can just stream it. That's a lot of help. That's nice. Convenient. I've been listening to stuff on Stitcher. It's fun. Also go to facebook.com/poolpartyradio and like us there. Wouldn't you say, Frisbee, do you like it when people like us on Facebook?
Always. It's always a delight.
I love it. Also check out Junk Food Dinner, which is this other podcast about cult movies and stuff. We just wrapped up our big Halloween explosion of flavors, where we did all these theme shows about Halloween monsters, like Frankensteins and Draculas and Booberry.
Did you do any, aside from Booberry, did you do any movies that weren't about Halloween or scary?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we did on the last episode.
How weird. What was it?
our Halloween episode. We did a movie called The Night After Halloween that had nothing to do with Halloween.
Of course it doesn't. It's The Night After Halloween. It's in the title. Yeah.
You would think that there would be parts, elements of the story that had to do with Halloween, though. And, yeah, nothing to do with horror either. It was just like a docudrama about the horrors of being a model.
What?
Yeah, a real weird movie there. So, who knows? So, yeah, so we did a bunch of Halloween movies and one not Halloween movie this month on Junk Food Dinner. Also, check out the Pod Awful channel that we're a part of. I think you can find it by going to podawful.something or another. I'm not too sure. Or just check out podawful.com, which is, you know, Jesse, P.S., does that show. It's another nice podcast. And Jesse, I would say he's the Mr. Daddy of the Pod Awful channel that we're a part of. A channel full of podcasts that you can enjoy.
What's the Mr. Daddy?
That's how he likes to be referred to, as Mr. Daddy. So I'm going to oblige him. That's what he calls himself on his show. Who am I to refuse this man his one dying request?
Oh, he's dying again?
Oh, no. Probably. I mean, he's going to die someday.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just don't want to rock the boat in case he's going to die soon. Mr. Daddy. Also, speaking of podcast bros, Jeremy Morrison from the Acid Pop Cult podcast recently accused me and Frisbee. We've been accused, Mr. Frisbee, of not listening to that show. Jeremy Morrison says he doesn't believe that we listen. Well, I'm going to say on the record here that I have been listening to that show. So now the ball's in Jeremy Morrison's court, because if he doesn't listen to this show, then he's not going to know that I listen to his show. And then we'll know who's really not listening. What do you think about that plan, Mr. Frisbee?
I think this is a completely mature decision. I just want to say for the record that I'm a big fan of Tasty Pop Cult. I enjoy Rory and Les on the show. They're excellent co-hosts. So I would urge you to keep up the good work, Jared, and to not accuse us of not listening to Tasty Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, I also like that show. What I really enjoy is Jerry's Runts and Rimbles segment. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love the Rude Knickers report that Les does, and I really enjoy Robbie's Roadhouse review, and that's review spelled like UE, like old timey.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah, those are all good segments.
I agree. Another thing we should mention real quick is that we've been putting out our show on Friday for a million years, and in the next couple of weeks, maybe we'll start putting it out on Monday. So, you know, think about that, will you? Just be mindful of that. Speaking of putting out shows and stuff, next week's show, we're going to usually record, we record the show on Wednesday, but next week we're going to record on Tuesday. That way we can have all the breaking news about who wins the presidential election. We're going to record, we're going to be reporting on that news, you know, reporting the precincts and the numbers and the electoral votes. That way, when the next episode comes out next Friday, you will know who won the election. So that's going to be very important. Try to steer clear of spoilers if you can until then. That way you can get it straight from us on Friday, a mere 4 days after the election.
Yeah, you don't want any other sort of interfering evidence or anything like that. Just isolate yourself. Do not talk to anyone. And wait for us to release the episode. It's just that simple.
Yeah, don't log into Facebook or Twitter. Don't watch the news. Just wait for us, because I think we're going to have probably the best coverage of the election, you know, the best analysis as well. And, you know, we're going to be pretty on top of things there. But the only bad part is you're going to have to wait 4 days. You know how it goes with technology these days. Oh, also, one thing, going back to the Facebook thing, me and speaking of Mr. Daddy, we were talking a few weeks ago about how most of the people we talk to on Facebook are not our friends, but are people who listen to, you know, these podcasts and stuff. The pool party, or the junk food dinner, or the pot awful, or, you know, what have you. And so if you want to, you know, you want to be friends with me or Frisbee on Facebook, have at it. Especially if you play Marvel Alliance, the Facebook game, because I'm addicted and I need more command points. So I would just like to plug that. Do you play Marvel Alliance, Mr. Frisbee?
No, not at all. So Park needs all the help he can get.
Yeah, I know. Mr. Frisbee's not even helping me.
What do you have to do in Marvel Alliance? Like, what do you... Who are you in Marvel Alliance? Yeah. Captain America, I suppose.
Well, I got Captain America. You start out with, like, Hawkeye and Iron Man, and then, you know, based on the things you do during the story, you get to unlock different people. And I, of course, unlocked Captain America. He's my favorite. I would be a poser if I didn't. I got the Captain America tattoo. So, it's a lot of fun. It's like an old-school RPG setup, like a turn-based kind of a fighting thing. It's a good way to kill time. So, I've been playing the shit out of that. And if you want to help me beat Dr. Doom, Frisbee, you should play the shit out of that, too.
What?
You don't
get in the way of Latveria? I don't think so.
Yeah, well.
What are you, chicken?
Yeah, he's Dr. Doom. He's metal and can shoot lightning. And there's tons of him. Like, you think you've got him, but you haven't.
That's true. That's the scariest part of Dr. Doom.
He's the ultimate pulp villain.
Like, wait a minute. You find it scary that you could... You think you've defeated Dr. Doom, but then another Dr. Doom shows up and takes that Dr. Doom's place? You think that's a scary idea?
I'm scared that he's metal. I'm not scared because it's the same thing as Phantasm. I see what you're doing there.
Phantasm, that happens with Phantasm. It's scary to you. That's the end. This is Parker for Jason, who's afraid of Phantasm. He admitted it.
Saying, Dr. Doom.
Saying, fuck you, Chelios.
Twisting my words.
Alone and
I didn't say you want to. I'll deal with you nerds later.
I'm going back to Chelios. Deal with you nerds later is too insulting to the listener. So instead, I'll tell them to fuck themselves.
Yeah, that's much nicer.
Yeah.